You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this lovely show, Tony East, covering the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. Tonight, Pacers Thunder, it's a big one. I normally would introduce my guest by now, but I have a stupid joke. It's funny, they play the Thunder the first day after it snows. I'm in a terrible mood because it snowed today. But on the other line, to help me talk Thunder, covering the Oklahoma City Thunder for Daily Thunder is David Brandon. David, did it snow in Oklahoma today?
It did not, but it is freezing cold, and it was 70 yesterday, so I had to scrape ice off my car.
Man.
Those of us who live in the Great Plains and or the Midwest know that feeling very well.
Drove into work, bright and sunny. I mean, cold, but still sunny. Left work, dark, snowy, scraping my car. It was awful. It was terrible. But basketball is not terrible, and you know what else is not terrible? As me and Adam talked about, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who has been amazing for the Thunder this year. And I wanted to start this off talking about Chris Paul because he's one of my favorite players ever, but I can't. I have to start by making you talk to me about Shai because he's been the best player on the Thunder this year. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable. Like, I mean, I knew he was good for the Clippers last year, but I didn't watch a ton of Clippers. And then just seeing him on the Thunder this year, like, it seems like he's taken another level scoring. Like, gone to another level on that, which maybe that's because, you know, he has the ball in his hands more. It's his second year, but he's been really good scoring. He hasn't distributed as much, but that's because the Thunder have a whole bunch of point guards right now. So,
yes, they do. Yeah. One of them is my least favorite player in the NBA. Did you know that Dennis Schroeder is Tony East's least favorite player in the NBA?
I did not know that, but I can understand it. He's up there.
It's not, I don't have a problem with him, the guy. I think he's very unaesthetically pleasing and not very good, and he plays a lot, and I don't really get it. So, and what is the opposite of a fan? I'm that. What's staying backwards? I'm a Schroeder Nats. That's what I am. How often does he play? Right? Does he play alongside the point guards a lot?
Yeah, he plays. Actually, one of the best lineups for the Thunder right now is that 3-point guard lineup. Huh. I haven't checked all the permutations of it, but the Schroeder, Gilgeous-Alexander, Chris Paul lineup was actually pretty good. And I think that's usually with Gallinari and Adams, but I don't know for sure.
Wow. Breaking out a little vintage 2013 Suns with the 3-point guards.
Yeah, or a little bit of Rick Carlisle.
Oh yeah.
Actually, they're a little tall for Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, Shai's tall enough to play the three respectably, right? Like, that's not so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, although you see some stuff where guys get, like, mashed on switches. I watched the Magic the other day, and there were a couple times, like, they wound up, like, switching something, and then Aaron Gordon would get, like, Schroeder on him in the post, and it was not a good scene.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is if that runs with T.J. Warren at the three, I mean, Chris Paul can defend anybody, but if either Schroeder or SGA ends up on Warren, he will just post him up.
I love T.J. Warren, man. Like, I've loved T.J. Warren since, like, forever, since he came into the league. Like, I remember the Grantland article that talked about him coming into the draft, and it was just like, it described him as being like, he just, like, throws stuff up at the rim and it goes in.
Yep.
Like, he's just one of those, like, weird in-between players that he just, like, he has this whole arsenal of, like, funky floaters and push shots and, like, weird little in-between stuff. I love him.
They just played the Magic on Sunday. I don't know if you caught that game, but he, like, half his points came on these weird, he'd get like a half step on Johnny Isaac or Aaron Gordon or whoever was on him, and then just one-legged floater in the lane, and he made like six of them. There was no answer for it. It was unbelievable.
He's such a weird player. It's just like, it's like this sort of like underground, you know, he's like the indie band of the NBA, you know, I don't know what's a unknown.
I'm calling on you for this. My music taste is not appropriate to say anything is indie or not indie.
Oh yeah. Let's go with like he's a animal collective
Okay. If one person knows that, please tweet at me and say, you know who Animal Collective is, because I do not. I'm embarrassing myself.
It's just like really weird and like out there, but still pretty good.
Okay. I like it. And yeah, he's been awesome this year. His three hasn't even, well, I shouldn't say this. Like last year, his 3-point percentage was top 10 for guys with his many attempts in the league in percentage. And that's like not TJ Warren.
Yeah.
But you can't just throw that out. It was over 100 attempts. So yeah. It's been weird this year being like, oh, he should be a good 3-point shooter, but we also have a ton of evidence that he's not, so I don't really know. But if that starts falling for him, he's going to be like unstoppable. So I look forward to seeing whoever the Thunder put on him.
Yeah, we've had that conversation about Jeremy Grant for the last several years with the Thunder, because he's like, it's been like that sort of sample size thing where it's like he wasn't a good 3-point shooter, and then he was for a year, and then it was like rough, and then he was good again. I think he's a decent 3-point shooter now, but like with that sort of stuff where a guy's been historically bad and then like got better, it's kind of hard to tell how much is like sample size and how much is, you know, when they're not like super high volume.
He missed his first 8 of the year. And then I was like, oh boy, it was only 8, but I still thought, ugh, like that's an uphill battle. Now he's up to like 32% or something. Not terrible, but better than every year except for last year for him, which is fine.
I mean, Mike Muscala is shooting like 16% on threes.
Actually, Mike Muscala's on the Thunder. I just learned that because you just said his name. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't. Oh, yeah, that's right. He and Alec Burks got offered to like back out of their deals, but he didn't do it because no one else would ever sign him.
Yeah, it was like Sam Presti flew to his house to sign him. It is the most baffling. Wow. Like, I mean, the Thunder aren't exactly like, you know, killing it on free agency acquisitions ever, but it is a weird. It is weird optics to have him like fly to Mike Muscala's house
and then only play him 12 minutes a game. Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a fake good player Mike Muscala is. I can't wait for him to be added to the NBA so we can stop covering Mike Muscala. All right. So we've only talked about Shea a little bit, but Chris Paul's on this team. And I thought of a really cool Chris Paul trade idea, if you don't mind.
Okay. Okay.
Chris Paul for 2 first round picks and Russell Westbrook. To the Rockets.
I hate you for this. I really do.
I just, okay. I love Chris Paul. He was like, the Lob City Clippers were one of my favorite teams. And I hate seeing him on a not awesome team. And I don't like the Rockets as much this year, even though I thought they'd be good. And I, you know, Chris Paul, I watched 2 Thunder games. He looked fine, but it doesn't seem like Chris Paul without, you know, the team doing really well. I don't know.
Yeah, he's been okay. He's not been like, because I love Chris Paul, because like my introduction to basketball, really, like my introduction to NBA was 2006-ish when they had the Hornets in Oklahoma City.
Oh,
like
yeah,
I went to games.
Yeah.
I went to games with my dad. Like I watched Chris Paul throw lobs to Chris Anderson, and that was like. I watched them play against the Pau Gasol Grizzlies. That might have been, what year is that? 2005, maybe 2006. But yeah, like I watched Chris Paul as a rookie and a little bit as a sophomore player because they split time between New Orleans and Oklahoma City. And so like there's like this deep-seated love there for Chris Paul because he's like what got me into the NBA originally. Yeah.
Man, what a year. I always forget that happened.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Like, it is the craziest sports environment I've ever, like, I was literally almost deaf leaving there in a regular season game. Like, when they played at that arena, like, Thunder games are loud. Like, I've been to some pretty loud Thunder games, but that place, it was like sitting inside of a jet engine. It was like your eardrums were constantly on the verge of breaking because people just cheered the whole game.
Pacers legend David West was on that team, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. He was real good for them, too.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith, played for them.
I forgot he was even on the Hornets.
Yeah, who there were a few other. Oh yeah. Peja played for them the year that they split time between Oklahoma City and New Orleans.
There you go. What a team. What a year. I completely forgot about that. I didn't realize Chris Paul would have that deep of a connection to, well, maybe not deep, but he has a connection to Oklahoma City.
I have a Hornets Chris Paul jersey. Hornets Chris Paul jersey.
Wow, that's got to be worth like $1,000 now. That's exaggeration, but yeah, that's awesome. Well, yeah, it's just sad because, I don't know, maybe, like Chris Paul clearly lost a step last year. Last year was the first year that he was not like, can do whatever he wants to create a shot for whoever he wants, Chris Paul, but he's still really good. And it's, it just makes me sad on this Thunder team that, A, his usage is below Shea's. That is, I believe, when I was looking at this. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is actually also below Gallus and Schroeder's. That is painful. I don't know. It makes me sad seeing him play the way he is now. Even though I get it, like, this is how it should be, but it's sad.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also, like, there was something I saw across my timeline. I don't know if it's, like, one of those really lazy aggregation things, but it did say that, like, I didn't have time to check it, but it said Chris Paul was, he wanted to go to the Bucks. And so I was like, oh, let me workshop that, because that might actually be something that they might be interested in.
Yeah, I don't know how it would go down, but man, that'd be fun.
I'd love to see him on a place where he can just like be him, like, because he's splitting time with two other point guards here, and all those guys are going to get time. Shea's going to get the lion's share. I just want him to go someplace where he can, you know, be free,
right?
Fly free and throw lob dunks or throw lobs to people so they can dunk it.
So Pacers fans who haven't watched the Thunder, right? They probably all know who Shea is and CP3 and Adams, probably Gallo. Who's going to surprise them in this game tomorrow?
Hamadou Diallo, probably.
Ooh, I know very little of him. I only know of him because he went to Kentucky.
Yeah, well, he won the dunk contest last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he is one of the most explosive athletes I've seen. He's still a little bit, like, he's not completely in control, but he's good for... let's see, what is he putting up? 1.5 steals a game right now.
Yeah, well.
Off the bench, 22 minutes. So, like, he's a really explosive, really fast hands. He's good for a lot of transition stuff. Yeah, and he'll throw down some really cool dunks and stuff. And he's actually become a reasonably good bench contributor. He's putting up almost 10 points a game off the bench. Thunder scoring's been pretty evenly spread this year, like, outside of Shea and Gallo. And yeah, Hami's gonna surprise you. Also, Baisley's a surprisingly decent player.
I'm rooting so hard for him.
Yeah.
Anybody who skips the NCAA process, I root for them so much.
Yeah, he's interesting. Like, he's still pretty raw, but he's flashed a passing touch that I did not expect. His three ball's been okay to start the year. I mean, at the moment, he's shooting 40% from three. I mean, that's super low volume, but...
Have you gone in? Like, 25, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, he's still raw. I remember watching the Rockets game and just seeing him. He got switched on to Russ at the rim, and Russ did just like the veteran, you know, put the shoulder in and just put the ball up over top of him. And basically just folded up like a cheap laundry rack. I mean, he's still raw. He's still pretty skinny for, you know, a guy his size. Like, but I'm excited by what I've seen from him. So that's, yeah, good. he and Diallo off the bench. I mean, everybody knows what Nerlens does. Everybody knows what Schroeder does.
What Nerlens does not do.
Yeah, I mean, he's.
I like Nerlens, but yeah, he's not going away.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's fine. There was a point in time where I looked at his stocks combination on Philly, and I was like, oh, why is Nerlens not starting? And then he came to my team, and I realized why he doesn't start. he's fine, but yeah, he gambles a bit.
Yeah, Miles Turner does too. Not nearly as often as Nerlens Noel, but still. I'm hoping Miles is back in this game because none of the centers on the Thunder are particularly good defending the perimeter. I think it'd be a good game for him to... Ooh. Potentially come back and scoot his butt behind the three-point line. So, speaking of Turner, I don't know if he's going to play, but another question for you regarding matchups. I want you to give me, one, the matchup you're most afraid of from the Thunder standpoint, and two, the matchup you're most excited about from the Thunder standpoint, and the way they could get the most points.
So, I haven't watched a lot of Pacers this year. I mean, I know Brogdon's been doing pretty well. What about who else? What's their starters right now?
They got Brogdon, and then if he's back, Jeremy Lamb. If not, it will be Aaron Holiday. TJ Warren, and then if he's back, it will be Sabonis Turner. If there's no Turner, it will be Jakar Sampson, who's been awesome, and Sabonis.
Really? Jakar Sampson? Boy, yes. That's a name I haven't heard in a minute.
I wrote a whole article about how he deserves more minutes because he's been awesome.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. I mean, I think the key matchup is probably going to be Adams versus Sabonis.
Yes, it is.
Because
I agree.
Yeah, because like the Thunder have actually dipped a little bit in rebounding since last year because one of their better rebounders isn't on the team now.
On the team anymore.
I mean, like, say what you will about Russell Westbrook, but the team rebounding has gone down. Like, he wasn't just eating Steven Adams' boards. He was eating a lot of boards.
No. He was hunting for triple-doubles exclusively to win awards. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, exactly.
David just punched me through the computer, everybody.
No, that's I think there's a little bit of that, but also, like, he's a good rebounder. Like, he's – yeah, so, like, the team is rebounding a little bit worse. I mean, Adams versus Sabonis is, like – Sabonis is a good rebounder. And if Adams can keep him off the boards, the Thunder will have an easier time of it.
I have a fun Sabonis stat for you that I researched today.
Oh, interesting. What do we got?
He's currently averaging 20, 13, and 4.1. He would be the first player to do that since Kevin Garnett in 2005.
Yeah, he's awesome.
If Giannis was not also doing it right now.
Man. So. Yeah, I was real sad that the Thunder traded Sabonis. I mean, like, we did get a couple of years of Paul George out of it, which was great. But, man, he's a good player.
Yes, he is. He is on a tear this year. He lost weight and got stronger all at once. I'm not really sure how this happened. At Media Day, Oladipo saw him and was like, "Bro, you're lighter than me now. What the hell?" It was so funny. And now he's just, like, unstoppable. He's been so good.
Yeah, and then I think, like, the Brogdon-Gilgeous-Alexander matchup is going to matter a lot, too.
Giant guards. I love it.
Yeah. And then Gallo versus – I think the one that they could probably take advantage of is Gallo versus whoever.
Agreed.
Because Gallo is
amazing,
really good.
Yeah.
Like, people forget –
most underrated NBA player, perhaps?
One of them, yeah. Because people forget about him because he's always, like – he played in Denver and then, like – the Clippers team last year was scrappy, but nobody expected them to win anything, so they weren't paying a ton of attention. And Gallo always misses like 20 games a year. So, yeah. Like, people just forget how good he is. But he's really good.
Yeah, before the Warren trade, I wrote an article about who the Pacers could trade their first-round pick for. Ironically, I put Warren in there, and then they got him and a pick for nothing. But I also had Gallo in there because I think Gallo is a – hey, the Suns look good, but yes, that was stupid trade. That was a terrible trade. I also put Gallo in there because I think he's amazing, and he would have been an awesome fit in the front court on this Pacers team. I kind of doubt that anything will happen now, but you never know. Yeah, he's super good. He's like 19 points a game on over 60% true shooting. And he can score like in a bunch of ways. I think that's what people don't know about Gallo.
Yeah,
is that he can like put it on the floor and score or post you up or yeah, he's good.
He even had a couple really nice like pick and roll like passing possessions with Adams last game. Like, there's a little bit of high low that we've gotten out of them. So that's fun.
Yes, that is fun. Steven Adams. Is he hurt, by the way? I only see him playing as 7 games, and I saw recently that he might be like sitting out a game or something for a leg something. What's that?
Yeah, he started off really slow. He had a leg contusion, and then they sat him for a few games. And then, he came back. He's been pretty solid since he came back.
That's good.
But I think he had like a bone bruise or something for a few games. Something like that.
One of those he'd be playing in the playoff injuries that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Steven Adams is one of my favorite guys in the league because every year I try to make the joke on my birthday. I'm only 1 year younger than him. So it's like Steven Adams, age 26, and he's got like a massive beard and hair and he looks like he's 70. And then me and I look like I'm 12. So his numbers are down a little bit. Just a cursory glance here. Is that did Russ really have that much of an impact on his just raw numbers, or is he actually playing worse this year?
I think that's actually part of it because, like, the way that Russ got a lot of points for Adams was mostly because, like, Russ going to the rim is a freight train, so you draw somebody over, and then, like, Adams is just there in the dunker spot, or Adams is rolling to the rim. Like, Chris Paul, he plays a little bit differently. He's not putting the same amount of pressure on the rim to where like, you know, guys are rotating over in panic. He's still good, but it's like a different kind of play. I think they'll get better as they go on. But like he's dragged down by, if you look at his game log, it was like the first four games he did like 3, 7, 8, and 6 points. And then he scored in double figures since he came back.
Oh, okay.
And his rebounding's been, San Antonio game, Aldridge absolutely crushed him as he always crushes the Thunder. I don't know why he's one of those, him and Wiggins, like they always kill the Thunder.
Yeah, I remember Wiggins banked in that three at the buzzer last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm still salty about that, by the way, because there was a foul on that inbound.
I actually did know that Wiggins owns the Thunder. I don't know why I knew that. That's funny. I think we talked about every rotation player on the team. I still want to know the matchup. Is the Sabonis matchup the one you're most afraid of, or is it TJ Warren?
It's the Sabonis matchup. Like, yeah. Warren will go off some. I don't know who they'll guard him with. But if they stick Gallo on him, it's going to be rough.
I think if Lamb is back, anyone could guard him. But if not, I think it's going to be Shea, actually, just because of size.
I don't
like
know.
Aaron Holiday is tiny.
Yeah,
so they can get anybody on him. I don't know.
I don't think they've cross-matched a ton. I mean, like outside of one position for the starters. So, I mean, I don't know if they'd do that. I mean, I think the most likely to draw that matchup is either going to be Gallo or Ferg. If it's Ferg, Warren's going to wreck him. Because, like, Ferg's a good defender, but he's a good perimeter defender. He's not – like, he's just skinny.
Yeah. Brian Bowen is a big Terrence Ferguson fan because of their Australia stuff. It's a pretty cool connection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, like, I love the Aussie stuff because –
Yeah, the league's blowing up. I'm happy about that. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, half my family is from Australia, so, like, I'm half Australian. And so, like, I cheer for Australia in international play and, like
– So you're on the lame half of your family?
Yeah. Don't tell them I said that.
I know,
like I remember watching NBL when I was there in 2006 and being like, oh, really?
Oh, wow.
This? And then like watching now, like, you know, it's a respectable league.
Bogut's there. Like he's not, he's probably one of the best 450 basketball players in the world. Like obviously there's going to be youth players that are chosen over him for potential, but like he's really good and he's playing there.
Yeah. I liked RJ Hampton, what I saw of him when he played against
the Thunder. Yeah, me too. He looks good. He looks good, and obviously LaMelo, but I don't want to do too much ball discussion here. Yeah, that, you know what? We kind of have gone player by player, and in my head, I like the Pacers' bench matchup a lot in this game. Their bench was – so the Pacers' bench, David, was like the worst in the NBA for the first 4 or 5 games this season. Like absolutely nothing worked. In the last week, TJ McConnell has had 2 near double-doubles with like almost 20 points. Doug McDermott can't miss anything. Justin Holiday is being a really good two-way player. Like all of a sudden the Pacers bench is full of like capable vets and doing stuff. And nothing about the Thunder bench scares me at all in terms of that being a matchup problem for them. They have a lot of youth there. I mean, Schroeder's fine at scoring, I guess, but I feel like if the Pacers starters can keep pace with the CP3 and Co group, the Pacers should walk away with a victory.
The one guy that I think you might possibly worry about is Hami Diallo.
Okay.
He's been the guy that they've like outside of Schroeder. He's probably the guy that's given them the most bench production. And if they don't have a guy who can match up with him athletically, he may cause some trouble. I mean, like none of the other guys are super scary. Like Schroeder sometimes, like if Schroeder goes off for like 30 or something, which he can do occasionally, like that might tip it. But yeah, like Pacers bench is pretty good. Actually, how's
Goga? Did you just question the athleticism of Doug McDermott?
Yes.
Former Thunder Doug McDermott?
I watched him.
he actually has some like nice dunks every once in a while, but yeah,
he is
not athletic guy. There's so many Pacers Thunder connections. I always forget about that.
Yeah, well they're one of I saw a thing on trade networks a while ago and I think the Pacers were in there. So like teams that are more likely to trade among themselves. And I think the Pacers were in the Thunder's group.
That's a cool thing. I want to see that.
Yeah. it's somewhere on Nylon Calculus. A lot of the diagrams
most cool things about basketball.
Yeah. But it was like I think the Pacers were in the group with like the Thunder, the Bulls, the Blazers and the Celt, but I may be misremembering that.
The Bulls and Thunder. The only Bulls Thunder trade I remember was that stupid campaign trade.
I loved that trade. Taj Gibson is
fair enough.
Taj Gibson's my guy.
Yeah. I'm sad he's on the Knicks.
So am I.
Poor Taj Gibson. But I said all that to say, yes, I guess I don't know enough about Hamidi Diallo to make a good assessment of if he could be that guy. I'm sure he could. If the Pacers bench keeps playing like they have been, maybe he will and it won't matter. But I think if the Thunder were the home team, I would pick the Thunder in this game, but they are not, so I am not.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably close to a push.
I agree. The best player, healthy player, is on the Thunder right now, so that certainly helps.
Yeah. By the way, how's Goga doing this year?
Oh, my man. He has a concussion right now, so I don't know if he'll play. He is first amongst rookies in BPM, amongst 100-plus minute rookies, at least. His defense has been really good. His offense is fine. I mean, he's a rookie, but his defense has been awesome. So you want to hear the craziest unsustainable stat ever?
Yeah.
With Goga in the game, Pacers opponents are shooting 45% at the rim.
Pretty good.
It's like impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nuts. He's a super solid vertical guy, and he fouls a crap ton, like 7 times per 36 minutes or something. Yeah.
As do a lot of young digs.
Yeah, it's not like unreasonable. Well, it's super high, but it's not like such a crazy thing. But, yeah, he's a pretty good defender. I'm excited to see how he develops. I hope he can get minutes when he is back to health.
Sweet.
No, it's going to be fun. All right, where can people follow you and all your stuff?
So you can catch me on Twitter at Bird Rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, N-B-A, at Bird Rights, N-B-A. And you can also find my stuff on Daily Thunder every now and then. I don't write a lot, but when I do, it's usually salary cap and or trade and or...
I actually found you for cap stuff, so...
Oh, yeah. There you go. Cool. So I do some of that, and then I'll actually be live tweeting the game under the Daily Thunder handle this Tuesday at Daily Thunder. So if you want to follow along, get some thoughts from the other side, you can catch me there.
Sweet. Obviously, this podcast is at Locked On Pacers, and I'm at T East NBA. It's going to be a fun one tonight because I get to see Chris Paul play. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll have this recap tomorrow. We will see you then.